Hello. Yay, we're there. That's good. Good morning. I'll stand up there. I can see the back there from there. Good to see everyone today. What do you think so far? What are you thinking of the room? Good? We liking our... This isn't what we do every week for any visitors. This is ready for our Enfest week, which starts tomorrow morning, which we're excited about. And Gunstank, I think, is looking particularly good. Thank you, John Barnard, for that lick of paint in there. It's never looked that nice before. We're really excited this week, looking forward to what God's going to do through this church and through his people here. Looking around, we were praying just at the start, and I was thinking about all these flags and thinking of the whole world. You know, there's so many countries, so many places, and God is in each one of them. That's kind of our memory verse for this week, thinking about God being everywhere. And it's amazing to think there's people over the other side of the world who are worshipping God, the same God that we love. And just got this verse, which a lot of you might know this verse. This is one which was one which I learnt a long time ago. But now there's this newfangled international version, and it's slightly different. So I'm going to read it. It's Romans 1, 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That's a brilliant verse, isn't it? I love it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Lots of us will know that here. Some of us might be thinking, what does that mean? Might be learning a bit more about it, but we'll be thinking about that this week. The salvation that God brings to us by faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this room, for the time we had yesterday as a bunch of people getting together, working together. And Lord, the one thing that unites all of us is you. And we love you and we worship you, and we're here today to spend time doing just that, loving the Lord our God. And we pray that as we spend time together, we'd be reminded of that gospel, of just what it is that you've done for us and why your gospel is real. Amen.
Hello. Great, do grab your seats. Hello, Malcolm. Hello, okay, good, we're working, fantastic. Romans 1:16, a verse that a bunch of you will know well. We're going to read it together, and it's a bit more of a challenge than just reading it off the screen, because it's in a kind of artistic form, all right? So you ready for this? If your eyes are good enough, give it a go with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Let's just try it one more time. Hopefully, if you couldn't quite see it, you heard the person next to you. Ready? Go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I love things that work. Put your hand up if you love things that just do what they say on the tin. Stuff that works. It just works. I just love those things. A few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, Alice and I, we used to get up early on a kind of school day, and we used to watch kids' TV together. And before kids' TV came on, there was a whole bunch of adverts. Do you know the kind of adverts that I mean? The ones that really intimidate me are kind of blokes with their kind of chests out with big muscles and stuff. But then there were the other adverts for kind of household appliances. And me and Alice were completely blown away by one appliance. I need Alice just to run up, wherever she is. Where's Alice? Alice, run up here as quick as you can. Where's Alice gone? You're there. All right, Alice, I want you just to pull out from underneath the stairs there this one thing that Alice and I loved. And it's called the H205X. Even the name is amazing, isn't it? Don't you reckon? It's just an incredible name for a contraption. Check this out. This is the H205X. Can I hear a woo? That's what me and Alice thought. And every morning we would watch this advert, and we convinced ourselves that everything they said on the advert was true. Now, Alice had this little thing going where she could almost verbatim, she could listen to the TV ad, and she knew what was coming next. So, Alice, just tell us a few of the features about the H20X5. Let's see if she remembers.
This is H20X5. It kills 99% of salmonella and E. coli. It cleans with the power of steam, so it uses no chemicals whatsoever.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? Okay, give Alice a round of applause. Great. Thanks, Alice. You can pop it back now. You'd like a demonstration? Come round to our house. Now, the truth is, it didn't quite change my life as much as I thought it would. Really, it's just a hot mop. That's all it is. It's like a mop that you could put a bit of boiling water on from the kettle and mop it up, and that would be it. It's just a hot mop. I want you to turn in pairs to somebody next to you. Be sensitive if you're a guest here. Don't worry, we're not going to baptize you or anything. I'm just going to ask you one question to ask with your neighbor. What is one thing in your life that you love it because it just works? Okay, so just turn somebody, just for 30 seconds, tell them one thing that you love because it works. Whilst we're doing this, Liz is going to come with Dave and a few others, and we're going to give you a little gift. All right, so there's a little gift that's coming around. Just keep hold of that for a second. All righty, okay, let's get a little bit of feedback. Where's my glamorous assistant, Matt Coombs? For those of you that are guests here this morning, Matt and I, we lead this amazing church together, and we like to be rude to each other, but I'm going to be really nice to him this week because it's the start of EnFest, and I think he's going to be pretty rattled by the end of the week. So Matt, you're looking lovely. Would you like to go and find a volunteer? Find somebody that has got something in their life that they love because it works.
Okay.
All right, and we don't want a sermon. Just give us a headline. What is it you've got?
Hello.
Hands up if you've got something in your life.
Microphones at work.
That you love.
Microphones. Microphones.
Matt Coombs would like the microphone to work, if that's possible.
Hello. It's coming. We're there. I'm right over here, Malcolm, at the back.
Great. All right, hands up. Those of you that got something in your life that you love it because it works.
Okay. Angela's got something brilliant. You're going to love this. Go on.
My husband.
Oh. Anyone else? Okay, someone with something real.
Don't think about that for too long. Let's move on quickly.
Okay, where are we? Brenda, I can see your hand there. I'm here. There you are, Brenda.
My car.
Very good.
How old's your car?
Very old.
Yeah, that was my one, my 17-year-old Golf. Okay. I should say it now. Right, who's next? John.
My steam mop.
Good one. Okay, let's
try
the other.
You.
Naya.
The mango slicer.
Mango slicer. Ooh, yeah, mind your fingers with
now
that
we're
one.
Talking.
Hazel, coming this side.
I know it's very old-fashioned to iron, but I love my steam generator iron.
Ooh. Ooh. Anyone else? Sarah?
My Hoover, because it picks up the dog hairs.
Okay. Yeah, good. I think I said picks up the dog.
Kirsty Hazel.
The Trainline app is very well executed. It's very incredible. Life-changing.
The Trainline app.
Do you work for the Trainline app?
I've got to ask. Okay, I've got to ask John Adicott, because yeah. John's going to have... It's going to be something
bad. It's going to be a filing bad. Contraption, isn't it?
My JCB telehandler.
Yes.
There's not many people that can say that, is there? Yeah, it's just my JCB. That's great. All right, one more. We've got somebody over on the other side, Matt.
Got a Nona?
Oh, yeah, a Nona.
My Kenwood Chef.
Kenwood Chef.
Kenwood Chef.
I think
that's cool.
Say the same.
Could do one more right at the front.
Yeah, okay,
one last one. No more hope.
My trampoline and the global knives that we have.
A trampoline and what?
Global knives. They're the third sharpest knives in the world.
Global knives. And you're the child protection officer, right? Okay, all right. What do you do with those knives, Noah? Do you put your dad on a big round board and whiz him round and... Talk about Jesus. Okay. All right. Good. We'll give you the Childline number later on, Noah. Was it a birthday present? Okay. All right. His birthday's in 5 days. What would you like? More knives? Okay. All right. Good. Dave's saying get back to Jesus before he says something really, really bad. All right, you got a gift. Just hold up your pencil if you've got a pencil in your hand. Sorry if there weren't enough. Why have I given you a pencil? It's an odd gift. It's because that's my thing that I love I love that pencils work. They just work. There's that American story. Do you remember the story where American scientists in the 60s trying to get a pen to work in space? And actually, then the Russians went up just with a pencil. You know that story? And they said, look, you don't have to spend all this money, millions of dollars. Actually, it's not a true story, sadly. It's an internet myth. But the Americans did spend $130 on each pencil when they went into space, and the Russians spent 20p on their pencils, and they both did exactly the same thing. I'm going to read you a quote, and this is the only time I will ever read from this book in church, and I think some of you are going to be quite relieved. This is the... Okay, next one. Thanks, Martin. This is from a book which, when I saw this book had come out, I was just like, I've got to get it. And it was £30. I've never spent £30 on a book, but I spent £30 on this book. It's called The Perfect Pencil, The Untold Story of a Cultural Icon. And it's the history of the pencil. Just listen to this. This is partly why I love pencils. What a computer can't do, a pencil can. We're experiencing the beginning of an analog revolution that forces us to reconsider the way we go about our daily tasks with an increased urgency to slow down, to take a step back and evaluate what technology has done to our minds and our lifestyles. With a pencil, we can experience intimacy that can't be found elsewhere. Who just shouted out amen? Wow, is Keith here? He's going to be properly offended by that. Okay. The wood smells of the tree it came from. The graphite feels like a certain way to write with. The eraser uses friction and heat to remove the marks. And the whole thing can disappear after a finite number of words and a quick spin with a pencil sharpener. And so it goes on. I love the feel of a pencil. I love what it does. This week, what most grabbed me was that the gospel works. You might think, Hebditch, you should have known that. You've been leading our church for a little while. You've been doing some stuff. But it came back to me with this kind of like a ton of bricks, like I'd ran into a wall. The gospel actually works. It's not something that we have to be apologetic for, spruce up, find ingenious ways to talk about it. So the next picture, this picture here. These guys, 18 months ago, there's roughly 15, 20 people in the room that you can see there. These are Syrian refugees, maybe six families. And do you know what God had put in their heart? They'd become followers of Jesus from a Muslim background. There's a big price involved in that, potentially. God had put in their heart to share the gospel, to be confident in the gospel with other families, with their cousins, with their mates, with their work colleagues. They were six families who said, "We believe the gospel works." You get it? Their confidence was this actually works. In the last 18 months, they've seen around about 1,000 people from a Muslim background come to faith in Jesus. It's incredible, isn't it? Absolutely amazing what God is doing. I'm going to show you a quick video. It's got sound as well. Thanks, guys. All right. Just a few pictures, hopefully. Do you see some of their faces? Just this life of God, this confidence that the gospel actually works. Paul tells us this. He says, the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, that's the gospel. That Jesus lived this perfect life. And then he died on a cross. And then he rose 3 days later to forgive, to bring justice, to bring family. We can so easily think to ourselves, hold on a sec, Matt. That was easy. That was easy for them, for Paul. I want to tell you, it's exactly the same. There's a few bits around the edges that people, missiologists will tell you, okay, there's different things going on in different nations. People are the same wherever you go, as I think Michael Jackson once said. And it's true. Paul, you might think, Paul had it easy. Of course he had a confidence. Actually, Paul was in Rome when he said these words, or he was writing to them, he was on his way. He knew that actually he would stand in front of the very people he was speaking to, where anti-Semitism was born in Rome, the home of Caesar Nero, this emperor who was so determined to extinguish Christianity that he would wrap Christians in the skin of lambs and then feed them to wolves and lions. And do you know what he'd shout out? Where's your good shepherd now? one of the guys that we work with, has been told, we've heard that you're sharing this gospel with people, and we're not happy. You stay in this city, we'll kill you. You should have seen the joy on this man's face when he rocked up saying, I'm not going to stop. I can't stop. It works. The gospel is too good. A nation where everyone says, be careful. Muslims are resistant to the gospel. Can I tell you something? They're not. We're resistant to sharing the gospel. And it's the same here in this country. We say, oh, my college mates, they're resistant to the gospel. They're really not. We're resistant to sharing it. The guys at Costa Coffee, you say, oh, they're going to be resistant to the gospel. No, they're not. Rachel Dawson, a couple of weeks ago, sorry, Rachel, gave a book to somebody that Liz works with, a book called You Are Special, just full of the love of God. This person that you could say, she's resistant to the gospel. Rachel, is she? No, she's not. Lots of other examples. This is the point, and it's a really simple point, and I get you to do one more talking to the person next to you. Oh yeah, a little picture. Just want to mention this. Who's here is 10? Just put your hand up if you're 10. This is a little girl. I don't actually know her name. She went along to a kids' club like Enfest 2 weeks ago. Do you know what happened? She was talking about Jesus because she's just like really confident. She loves talking about this gospel of love. So she was talking with some of the kids about it. Some of the leaders found out and they went up to her and they said, hey, get out and don't come back. Do you know what happened after that? The next day, two of these kids from that club went to find her and said, we loved hearing you talk about Jesus. It sounds amazing, this God of love. Can you tell us more? Can we start a kids club in your house? You should have seen her. Just so full of joy. It works. I don't know how else to say it, but I believe it with all my heart. God wants to do something in our church by his Spirit. Not just this week, but increasingly where we're not satisfied to be polite about the gospel and share it once in a blue moon just when somebody asks me. Or to believe what I think is probably a lie of the enemy, that oh, you don't have to talk about your faith, you just have to live it and show it. What? Jesus didn't do that, did he? Jesus talked about it and lived it. He believed that the power of God would flow through him, through this story of what God was doing in that space and time. And it's the same. Jesus said what? He said, you will do even greater things than these. Was he lying? Was he mistaken? Or actually, did he really believe that Dave Kingswood would do greater things? That the confidence this man has with the gospel, it would work. Not just Dave. It's a generic Dave. It's all of us. So the challenge today, and I'm getting you into pairs just to think about this. What if we began this journey of saying, God, I want my confidence in the gospel to grow. Not that we all become experts. God, no one's looking for experts. They're looking for people that are honest about their story, honest about what God is doing in their lives. What would it look like? I was talking to Alice yesterday. Alice does this brilliant thing. She's going to be quite embarrassed now. She takes my preaches, and when we're driving somewhere, she preaches my preach to me as we're driving. And I'll let you into a little secret. She's definitely better than me. Some of you are thinking, that's not that hard. But anyway, so Alice was preaching this preach to me yesterday. And she said, you know what, Dad, I've been talking to Hattie. And we've both kind of had this thought that sometimes we hear these things in church, but you never really say, how do you do it? What are you going to do? What are you actually going to practically do? And so what I'd like you to do, just for 1 minute with somebody next to you, say, all right, if your confidence were to grow, that this gospel of love, it works. If your confidence grew this week, Scott at work, wherever you are, if your confidence grew that the gospel worked, what could you do? What could happen? What practical things? What might it look like if your confidence actually grew that the gospel worked? Can you just talk about that with somebody, just for a minute, somebody sat next to you. Okay, go for it, just for 1 minute. All right, I'm going to ask for just some really quick bits of feedback. And I'm looking at people like Mike Blowers and others who I know some of you guys are on this journey. You're doing this stuff. You're believing more that the gospel actually works. All right, let's do this. Matt, if you'd be ready. Just very quickly, and no pressure, but if there's something either that you've heard from somebody next to you or something that you feel, yeah, actually, this is what it might look like if my confidence that the gospel works, if it grew this week, what might it look like? Let's just have a few things. And hopefully this will build our faith, and maybe we'll even remember some of the people that share these things. All right, I'm going to be really depressed if none of you stick your hand up. All right, we go Chris, Mike, and then a couple from this side.
I was thinking I might actually have confidence to pray for my colleagues, not necessarily with them, but just to pray for them.
Yeah, that'd be the coolest thing, wouldn't it? If Chris Kennedy rocked up at church next week and some of you said to him, how did it go? Did you pray for any of your friends at work? He said, yes, I did. Who knows what might happen? Mike.
I've just apologised to Karen because last week I spoke at church and I talked about being prepared to lose when you go out and share your faith, and I thought the next morning I better go and do that. So I had a really good conversation about what I talked about with one member of staff, and I thought, well, we've got the quiz, I'll just send an email saying who will come. I sent that out, and we've got two teams coming tomorrow from work, so if you can pray for that. But then Karen's doing the epilogue, and she did it, and it was a bit overt, and I said, oh, I think that's a bit overt, love, you know, perhaps tone it down. I've just apologised and said, no, go for it.
Come on.
So if we can have that confidence, just share naturally.
Fantastic. That's so good. Thanks, Mike. Let's have a couple of people from this side. Yeah, great. Right in the middle, Matt.
I'm going to have confidence to talk about superchargers in front of lots of children next week, which is something I don't normally do. So.
Yeah, you'll make me cry just saying that. If you know this lady, you'll know it's a big step. Praise God. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just saying in my general conversation, when people ask you what you've been doing and what's happening, you know, at work, it's the idea of very often you say, well, this happened and this happened. But it's trying to sort of incorporate God in that and say, well, actually, God's been doing this and God's been doing that, or I feel God said this, or I really feel God's been part of that. And it's just trying to sort of change what you, not necessarily what you say, but, you know, the emphasis is more on God rather than what is just what is happening. You know?
Yeah. You're going to work tomorrow morning? Yeah. You're here, okay. So you're at work, you got a week off? All right, okay, cool. Be thinking of you, let's pray. When Paul gets back to work a week from now and people say, "What? Where you been? Did you go on holiday?" That actually, he's just got this confidence that the gospel works. Amen? All right, let's read this together one more time and then we're going to pray. You ready? Why don't we stand and read it? We don't often do that, do we? But it just gives a little bit more oomph. Let's read it as a personal truth and as a prayer, okay? Go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Lord, we thank you together that this gospel that we've become part of, your story, that our story is now overlapping with, it works. It's the most beautiful thing. It's the most life-changing. It brings hope. It brings healing. Lord, it brings the sense of purpose. Lord, it doesn't answer all of our questions in this lifetime, but there's nothing that compares. And so we ask you, God, with Paul and with the others around the world, Father, for us in our nation, in our part of this world, Lord, we say, would you forgive us? Thank you that you don't guilt us, but forgive us for where sometimes we kind of crack on as though it's one thing of many. Father, it's the one thing of many. Father, we pray that tomorrow, Lord, we will have confidence. We will not be ashamed because your gospel works. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing one more song of worship. I want to just give you a reminder as well. Rachel's challenged you to leave the building a different way, kind of out that way through the sixth form room. If you're a guest here this morning, we want to give you a really special welcome. There's Dave and myself, Matt. We'll kind of stick around at the end here. Do come and say hello. It'd be really nice to have a proper conversation to see where you're from and what you're thinking. Let's go for it. Let's sing together and worship the God that we love.